Lord God, please let all that I say come from you, through me, and out to others. Amen. Please be seated. You know, our colic today reminded me of a story about a woman who was not a churchgoer, didn't have a lot of religious background or education, but as she retired, she wanted to do something that had meaning. So she took a job as a parish administrator, and one of her very first tasks was to create a new pew card for the parish. So she got it all laid out the way that it should be, and it was ready to go. And the rector left, and he called back probably an hour or so later and said, "Hey, do we have room for a quote on the front?" She said, "Yeah, I can make that work." So he dictated the quote, and it went off to the printer. And about a week later, of course, the ushers are putting out the new pew cards. And the one usher turns to the other one and says, "Wow, the rector is being really serious about this stewardship stuff." He says, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, did you read the pew card? The church is based on the apostles and the prophets," P-R-O-F-I-T-S. Take heart, this is not a stewardship sermon. In some ways, it might be easier if it were a stewardship sermon, because, of course, the text that I mistakenly chose to preach on, which is in track one this morning, is Abraham and his sacrifice of his son Isaac. And, you know, as I passed along to Kate, who read for us this morning, and to Phil, the fact that I had done this, Kate wrote back and she said, "I wonder what Isaac's side of the story would be. Can you imagine? Dad, WTF. But my aha moment in preparing this sermon was realizing that change comes to us over time. Social changes are necessary if we're going to advance as a Christian community and as the human race. Today we read about how God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, and in a commentary by Catherine Schifferdecker, she's the associate professor of Old Testament of the Lutheran Seminary in St. Paul, she recalled a Yiddish folktale that goes something like this. Why did God not send angels to tell Abraham to sacrifice Isaac? Because God knew that no angel would take on such a task. Instead, the angel said, "If you want to commend death, do it yourself." Wow, I thought, the angels questioning their creator. How completely bold of them. I can't believe they did that. I mean, would you ever question what God is asking you to do in your life? Yeah. Pretty much almost every day. I know I do it all the time, and there's been a lot of heated debate over this particular passage. And it's a story maybe of an abusive God, maybe of a misguided Abraham. Religious violence at its best, to be sure. Or is it a story really of faith and obedience? Many scholars have argued that it's simply a tale that is demonstrating the shift from human sacrifice to animal sacrifice. This seems pretty likely because there are some pretty specific biblical texts that forbid child sacrifice, and that means that if they're saying don't do it, they were doing it. Children back in the day, one of these little ones, the least among us, the mortality rate for kids was really high, and until they survived, until they were able to contribute to the sustainability of the household, their value was pretty low. The practice of human sacrifice was known in the cultures all surrounding Israel, and some speculate in Israel itself. So in order to stop that, what was needed was a prophetic condemnation of human sacrifice. The sacrifice of the lamb took the place of Isaac. And it became the foundational act for all the temple sacrifices that followed. This story is what helped change what people did in worship and honor of God. For Christianity, the sacrifice of the beloved Son has an obvious connection for us in the sacrifice of Jesus at his death. The willingness of Abraham to sacrifice his son became, for early Christians, their greatest example of faith. By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. He considered the fact that God is able even to raise someone from the dead. It is understood as a story of faith against all odds, and a foreshadowing of God's self-giving in Jesus Christ. What I really took from this? I took from this the idea that human cultural development does not happen overnight. Sometimes a single act of faith can change the course of human events. What we do, how we act in the world, it matters. Second thing that struck me as being important about today's scripture was that the act of providing a cool drink to the thirsty is not just a job for the clergy. It's not just a job that was done only by the people in the scriptures. It's not just the people in the pages of church history's job. The gospel says, whoever welcomes, whoever gives. You're the whoever, we are the whoever. It's all of us. We move from being a people who offered human sacrifice to animal sacrifice to finally understanding that God does not take delight in burnt offerings. We're called to love the Lord our God with all our heart and our souls and our minds, and we're called to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's far more important than any burnt offering can ever be. Today's gospel tells us to show hospitality even to the least among us, the children. Think about that for a moment. Today, our children are our future. They're loved and they're protected, and we've come a long way, but I don't think we're finished yet. Where we go next in our social and spiritual evolution is up to us. It's not up to the them or the they. It's not up to the clergy alone. It's up to all of us. You, the clergy, every single person that we're in community with. What that means is that we had better be in community and in right relationship with everyone. No exceptions. Everybody. We may have stopped sacrificing people and animals as part of our worship, but have we become less self-serving? Do we keep the other in mind when we act in the world? Do we look out for number one first and foremost? You know, it's a real challenge, I think, to balance our self-care and our self-interests and Jesus' command to love and welcome each other. You've heard of the 7 degrees of separation, right, have you? It's sometimes called the Kevin Bacon theory, you know, where everything is like within 7 steps. We're all related in 7 steps or less to each other. What would it be like if we were all so connected to each other that within those 7 steps we're connected to the whole world? It might seem impossible. I don't know if we're ever going to get to that place, the place of the world that exists in the Star Trek series. And that place, it's where respect is given to every single being, and all of their gifts, all of them, are taken as being good in the world. They can be used in the world. It's a global thinking. I think together we can get there, but it's going to take some work. Should we strive for a better life, and should we invent and create and heal and feed and develop ways to increase productivity? Yes. And I think that people should be rewarded for their work, and the gospel says it. We will be rewarded. And if we're rewarded, then what are we supposed to do? In gratitude, we're supposed to give of our abundance. Give to the other. Welcome, feed, clothe. Give cold water to the stranger, especially the most vulnerable. Share your abundance so that we all thrive. Because that's what following Jesus' command is. That's what the gospel says. Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. We are the whoever. We will receive our reward. Okay, here comes the question. How? How are we going to continue to evolve into a better Christian community and a better human race? Sometimes it takes a revolution for us to evolve, and sometimes we need to act on behalf of the other, even when it makes us uncomfortable, even when it makes us vulnerable. Doing the right thing is not always easy. It's not always safe. Sometimes we need to march. Sometimes we need to protest. And sometimes we just need to stand up for somebody who's right there in front of us being bullied. Most change happens over time. Try to be 1% better today. Does that sound like too little a thing to do, to be 1% better today than you were yesterday? Just 1% at a time? I learned that lesson when I was taking martial arts classes. I couldn't imagine kicking my foot above my head. I couldn't imagine breaking more than one board at a time. And one day, I was trying to kick my foot as high as I could, and I kept losing my balance. And my instructor came to me and he said, I only want you to try to kick 1% higher than you did yesterday. He said, because if you lose your balance, it sets you back. So just try 1% higher. And you know, in the next month, I probably made more advances than I had in the prior 6 months because I was able to maintain my balance and to push myself forward in a way that I hadn't conceived before. That lesson has served me in just about every aspect of my life. Take a deep breath. We only have this one breath to live on. I can't survive on a breath I took yesterday. I can't survive on a breath that I'm going to take tomorrow or even in the next minute. We only have this moment and this breath. I do wish a revolution would happen for me in my next breath. I want to turn my self-serving into completely God-serving in an instant. But if that doesn't happen in my next breath, at least I can try to be 1% better. I can try to be 1% more aware of the other. 1% better than I was yesterday. I'd love to say that I'm going to have a revolution. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be 5'2". I'm going to be 30 pounds thinner and 5'2". Well, you know, I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen because I'm going to have to move to... I don't think I can be 5'2", no matter what. I could learn to walk on heels, okay? That is going to take 1% at a time. I am going to have to be the person who pushes myself to be 1% better. Somebody said to me when I told them this story, they said, well, hey, look, in 100 days you'll be perfect. I said, well, I'm human. And when I backslide, sometimes it's 20% or 50% or 70%. Thank you for the donuts, Nick. But I've got to keep going. I've got to do the right thing. I've got to, I know even though I get knocked backward and off balance with faith and with grace, I need to pick myself up, dust myself off, and push forward again 1% at a time. And I need to pray. I need to keep moving forward, and I think we all need that. I mean, the consequences of the backsliding are immense. There is a song, of course, that I love that reminds me of how to pray and how to stay balanced, how to keep moving forward. You probably know this one. Day by day, O dear Lord, three things I pray: to see thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, to follow thee more nearly. Day by day. Amen.